So good to see you this morning. Is everybody having a good weekend? Is everybody excited about Christmas? Are you guys getting engaged? You're on board. Your tree's up. You're singing songs. You're making cookies. You're doing all. Okay, let's get busy, okay? Okay. Well, it is great to have you this morning. We're just honored that you would come and visit us on this month of December as we begin this celebration of the coming of our Savior, Jesus Christ. And we're actually in week two of a series that we're calling The Characters of Christmas, The Characters of Christmas. And what we're doing in this series, we're simply looking at three ordinary people. How many people are thankful that God uses ordinary people, just like you and me? And these are three ordinary people that God used to play a part in the very, very first Christmas, okay? And our hope is that as we take a closer look at each one of these characters, we'll learn some valuable life lessons that we can just not just learn about, but we can take out of here and we can apply those life lessons to our life so that we can live a life that would bring glory and honor to God. So if you were here with us last week, this is what we talked about. We talked about a life of obedience is a life that God will use and a life that God will bless, okay? So that was the big idea last week. A life of obedience is a life that God will use and a life that God will bless. So last week as I was speaking, I'm not sure, I was kind of wondering if the connection was being made with what I was saying and what you were hearing. And I was so encouraged this week. I had a couple people come up to me and said, just even in the middle of the service last week, God began to speak to my heart of certain things that I should do, certain steps of obedience that I should take. And when I heard that, I said, yay, God, that's what it's all about. We're not here just to hear a sermon. We're here to live out a sermon. Amen? So I was real encouraged. One person said I was just sitting there, and God was just in just prompting me to do something, and I responded in obedience at that moment, and it was no later than that evening that God came and he blessed me for that obedience. So how many people know a life of obedience is a life that God will bless, and it's a life that God will use? So we got to be obedient to what he's calling us to do. So today what we're going to do is we're going to learn another valuable life lesson from the life of Mary, the mother of Jesus. Remember, Matthew focuses on the birth of Jesus from the perspective of Joseph, the father, and the Gospel of Luke focuses on the birth of Jesus from the mother, Mary. So what we're going to do today, if you have your Bibles, I would encourage you to turn to Luke chapter 1, okay? Luke chapter 1. I do want to encourage you, let's be people that carry our Bibles to church. I know we have electronic devices these days, but I think it's really cool when you can open that paper Bible and you can begin to highlight things and underline things, and I just think there's something special about that. So we're going to look at Luke chapter 1. We're going to pick it up in verse 26 through verse 38. But before we read the text this morning, there's going to be some helpful information that will give you a greater understanding of the text. So we're going to set the table, give you a little background. If you were to look in your Bible this morning and you were to go to the Old Testament, you'll discover that the last book of the Old Testament is what we call a minor prophet whose name is Malachi, okay? Then if you turn the page, you enter into the New Testament. And the New Testament begins with what? The Gospels, primarily the Gospel of Matthew, okay? One thing you need to understand, it's just not that simple to turn the page and think, well, it was just that simple that it just was the next day. The thing you need to understand is there's a 400-year period between the ending of the Old Testament and the New Testament, and that period is often referred to as what? The 400 years of silence. So for 400 years, the Jewish people did not hear from God at all. There was just this silence. They were wondering, God, where are you? Why aren't you speaking to us through the prophets any longer? So the people are like, wow, is God still involved with our life? Is he still engaged? Does he still know what's going on? So for 400 years, there's this silence. But here's how God works. One day. Everybody just say that together. One day. How many people know one day can change everything? And that's exactly what we see in our text this morning. One day changed everything. And that is in a moment of time, we're introduced to this guy named Zechariah. Zechariah, who is he? He's a priest. And he has these priestly duties. So part of his priestly duties, his responsibility was to go into the temple and make the sacrifices. So one day he goes into the temple and he has this miraculous encounter with an angel. And the angel speaks to him and tells him that his wife, whose name is Elizabeth, by the way, she's barren, she's old, she's beyond childbearing years. Zechariah gets the message that your wife, Elizabeth, is going to give birth, and you're going to give birth to a son whose name is, everybody together, John. And John, his job is going to be, his life mission is simply, he's going to prepare people for the coming of Christ. So they haven't heard for 400 years from God. Now an angel says to Zechariah, your wife's going to have a baby. The baby's name is going to be John. We know him as John the Baptist. And he's going to prepare people for the coming of Christ. And that's where we pick up our story today. It's actually 6 months later. 6 months after this angelic visit that Zechariah has, we pick up our story. So let's do this morning. If you would, to change positions, can we stand to our feet as we read the Word of God together? I'm picking it up in verse 26. It's on the screen. It says, in the 6th month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a village in Galilee, to a virgin named Mary. She was engaged to be married to a man named Joseph, who was a descendant of King David. Gabriel appeared to her and said, greetings, favored woman, probably a girl about 14, 15 years old. The Lord is with you. Confused and disturbed, Mary tried to think what the angel could mean. Don't be afraid, Mary, the angel told her, for you have found favor with God. You will conceive and you will give birth to a son, and you will name your son Jesus. For he will be very great, and he will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord will give him the throne of his ancestor David. And check this out, you guys. And he will reign over Israel forever. His kingdom will never, ever end. Mary asked the angel, but how can this happen? I'm a virgin. The angel replied, the Holy Spirit, the third part of the Trinity, will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the baby to be born will be holy, and he will be called the Son of God. What's more, your relative, Elizabeth, she has become pregnant. She's 6 months ahead of you. She's become pregnant in her old age. People used to say she was barren, but she has conceived a son and is now in her 6th month. Can we all read this together? For nothing is impossible with God. Can we say that one more time with some faith this morning? For nothing is impossible for God. Mary responded, I am the Lord's servant. I think that's a very interesting response. I'm the Lord's servant. May everything you have said to me come true. And then in that moment, the angel left. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your holy word. We thank you for your word that's absolute authority and power. And we just ask, God, that you'd use your word to speak to us here today on a December 10th, 2017. That your word would be relevant to even where we live in these moments in the crossroads of our lives. Lord, I thank you that your word is alive, it's powerful, and Lord, your word has a heartbeat, it has a pulse, and I just ask that it come alive within us this morning. Lord, I just pray that you'd be with me as I attempt to communicate those things that you have placed on my heart to communicate to your people today. And Father, I pray that you'd be with each one in the room this morning, that you would prepare their hearts for the seed of your word. God, I just pray that our hearts would be softened. I just pray for the dynamic and the work of the Holy Spirit, the supernatural work of the Holy Spirit in these moments. Lord, may our ears be open, our spiritual ears be open. May our hearts be open. May our minds be receptive to what you would want to say to us this morning, this moment. And we ask these things in the name above all names. We ask these things in the name of Jesus. And everyone said, amen. You may be seated. I think we would all agree this is just a mind-blowing passage. It's just simply amazing. And, you know, for a pastor to take just one thought out of here, because there's so many truths, there's so many riches, there's so many nuggets, but we don't have the time this morning to talk about everything. So what I want to do today is I want to focus on one big idea, one big truth, one big nugget. And it's a lesson that I want to encourage us that we need to not just hear this morning, but we need to learn and we need to apply to our life. You say, well, what's the lesson we're referring to? Well, let's revisit our text real quick and discover what that message is that I want you to hear this morning. First of all, our text begins with Luke, the writer, and he's pointing out two important pieces of information. I learned recently that Luke actually probably interviewed Mary. He probably actually interviewed Mary, meaning he probably actually had the opportunity to sit and to ask questions, either him or someone really, really close to him. So we're getting this stuff kind of firsthand. It's the truth of God. Amen. And what we're told is that Mary was a virgin. We don't need to talk about this much in detail, but that means she had no intimate relationships with a man. She was a young lady, probably about 13, 14, 15. I've heard all these different numbers, mid-teenage years. And she was a woman who was devoted to purity. You mean if you were to see her today, she'd be wearing her purity ring, okay? Meaning I'm pure. I'm going to keep myself sexually pure for my husband only. So this girl was on a mission. She wanted to please God. Second thing we understand or see in the passage that we're told that she was engaged to be married. So what I want you to see here is that Mary's leading this nice and quiet life. I mean, she's living with her parents. We discovered that last week. She would be with her folks for a period of 1 year to make sure that she was pure. So Joseph would go his way. She would go her way. And I want to let you know, in her life, everything was good. Everything was going as expected. I would think she realized she had her whole life ahead. I would expect she's knowing that as she's realizing she's going to get married, she's planning things out. We're going to get married. Joseph's going to get a job. We're going to buy a house. We might get a donkey, maybe two donkeys. Who knows? We might have a baby. Maybe we're going to wait maybe a year, 2 years. We're going to get established. We're going to get our feet on the ground. So I think what we need to do when we read these Bible stories that we've read 100 times, we need to read them like we've never heard it before. Amen? We need to realize that these were real people. These were real situations. These are people in the middle of life, in the middle of their daily life. And I would just think that Mary is minding her own business. She's got everything planned out. She's a good woman. She's got it all planned out as a young gal. But suddenly, everybody say suddenly. By the way, how many people know that things can change in your life suddenly? Yay or nay? Good. Tell your neighbor this morning, suddenly. Okay. Suddenly, her life is interrupted by this unexpected visitor. So I want you to get this morning. I want you to, if you have to shut your eyes, you can shut your eyes. There's no fall asleep. But at least in your mind's eye, begin to imagine Mary, a young teenage girl living at home. I would assume she went to bed for the evening. I'm assuming maybe she was in a room by herself. She's just going through the normal routine of life, and she gets this unexpected visitor. And this unexpected visitor surely has an unexpected message. And the message is that she's going to conceive and give birth to a son. So think about this. She's hearing this from an angel. You're going to conceive and you're going to give birth to a son. And your son is not going to be any ordinary boy, but your son, check this out, his name will be Jesus. He will be the Son of God. I don't know about you, but can you say, wow, overwhelming? I mean, really? Is this really happening? I mean, just put yourself in Mary's shoes. What do you mean I'm going to conceive? What do you mean these things have never happened? So I think words that come to my mind is she's filled with disbelief, maybe confusion, doubt, questioning. And I think the angel realizes this. And check out what it says in verse 4. Mary said to the angel, but how can this happen? I'm a virgin. So she asked this very, what we would call today a reasonable question. It's a biological question. How can this be? I mean, this doesn't make sense. People don't get pregnant without intimacy. It's a real life. It's a real person. It's a real life scenario. And then Gabriel answers the question by telling Mary that you need to understand this isn't a human thing. This is a God thing. You need to understand it's not natural, but it's supernatural. Okay? And I'm only thinking Mary's still like, wow, I'm trying to process this. This is like drinking out of a fire hydrant. I mean, it's coming at you all at once. And I'm sure the angel knows about some of the questions she may have. So the angel's last words are these words on the screen. Let's look at it again. The angel's last words to this young teenage girl is, you know what, Mary? Nothing is impossible with God. Can we all say that together today in faith? For nothing is impossible with God. There's a lot of things in life that are impossible on our own. Are you hearing me this morning? There's a lot of things in life that are impossible if it's only up to you. But when it comes to you and God together, there's nothing impossible with God. Yes, are there things that are impossible for me on my own to carry out? Absolutely. But when it comes to God calling me to do something, knowing that He's with me, there's nothing. There's nothing. There's no mountain high enough. There's no valley low enough. There's nothing that's impossible with God. And I believe today there's several people that need to hear this because you're facing adversity. You're facing difficult situations. You're facing situations that you can't manipulate, you can't control, but only God showing up in His supernatural power can make a difference. And if that's you here this morning, you're in a place of hope. You're in a place of great hope. You're in a place of victory because it's not you alone. But if you will invite God into your life, if you'll invite God into the situation, there's nothing impossible with God. And that's not my main point this morning, but that's my heart for some people here this morning. You need to hear this, okay? So Mary gets this message, and at this point in time, she's faced with a decision. She could either believe the angel or she can doubt the angel. By the way, if you go back to the previous story of Zechariah, he did what? He doubted the angel. And as a result, what happened? Does anybody know? He was mute for the whole 9 months of his wife's pregnancy. And all the ladies say, yay. Wouldn't that be cool? Some of you know that happens already. I want my husband to talk, okay? So she's faced with this decision, a belief or doubt. So she has to, because here's the deal. The angel's gone. Now she's got to go back to bed that night. I'm not sure. Maybe she can't sleep the rest of the night. But you got to put yourself in her shoes. She just heard this message, and now the guest in her bedroom's left her alone. And now she's going to have to carry this out on her own as far as, how am I going to tell this to my parents? Can you imagine that conversation? Dad, I'm pregnant, and I know I've never had a relationship with a man. I've been conceived by the Holy Spirit. If that was my daughter, I think I'd be saying, yeah, right, try something different than that. You know what I'm talking about? So she has to choose her response. And here's her response is what I want to call our life lesson. This is what I want you to live out this week. Hopefully more than this week, but in the days ahead. Mary's response, we see it in verse 38. Let's read it together, or I'll read it. Mary says, as a response, I am the Lord's. Everybody say that fifth word, or this last word together. Servant. I am the Lord's, everybody, servant. May everything you have said about me come true. I'm just amazed with that response that Mary has. She says, I'm the Lord's servant. Here's today's big idea. This is what I want you to write down if you're taking notes. Today's big idea is simply this. If you want to be involved in God's work, you must be a servant. If you're here today and you say, yeah, I want my life to be bigger than me. I want my life to be bigger than the things that I can carry out. I want to be a servant. I want to do God's work. If that's you today, and I know some people in this room, you are passionate. You are very zealous. You have put other things aside in your life because you want to be involved in God's work. That is very commendable. Good for you. That's pleasing to the Lord. You want to be a part of what God's doing. Here's the key. You have to be a servant. So what we're going to do for the remaining time this morning is we're going to talk about this word servant. We need to have an understanding of what it means when Mary says, I am your servant. We need to understand, if I'm going to be used by God, what it means to be a servant. Because we can think of servant two different ways, okay? First of all, you could define a servant as one who finds out what their master wants them to do, and then they do it. See, that's the human concept of a servant, is that a servant goes up to the master and says something along these lines, Master, what do you want me to do? Then the master tells the servant what to do, and then they go off, listen to this, by themselves, and they do it. I want to illustrate my point because I think visual illustrations will help you to remember what we're talking about. Okay, here's the deal. I'm the master. Okay? Nolan, I need your help today. I told him already, so okay. Nolan's the servant. I'm the master. So Nolan comes to me. Don't be afraid. And I'm going to tell him what I want him to do. I'm going to tell him I've told him his assignment. I've given Nolan the assignment. In human terms, now the servant goes off and walk around the sanctuary, Nolan. Now the servant's by himself. What's he doing? He's carrying out what I've told him to do. And it's all up to him. That's how we think of servant in the worldly realm, in the natural realm, okay? So Nolan, pick up your pace and come on back here quickly. So has everybody got the point? Does everybody got the point? In the world, servant means master tells servant what to do. Servant goes off by themselves. By themselves and carries out the task. This is not the biblical concept of being a servant of God. See, being a servant of God is different from being a servant of a human master. A servant of a human master works for their master, but God, however, works through and with his servants. So this is what it looks like. The master God, he tells the servant what to do. Whatever. Now he's on a mission. He's going to obey, but here's the cool thing. Now he doesn't have to do it himself. Why? Because the master is going to be with him. Meaning, if the servant needs something, the master is great enough, believe me, to help the servant. If the servant lacks anything, the master makes up the lack, makes up the difference. Does everybody understand the difference? Let's give that up for Nolan. Thank you for your help. Okay. And see, this is exactly what we see in the life of Mary. Check it out. The angel comes to her bedroom. The angel tells her clearly her assignment. Your assignment is you're going to be the mother of Jesus Christ. And here's the cool thing. Even though the angel leaves that moment, how many people know Mary's not alone? How do I know? Look at verse 35. It says, the Holy Spirit, Mary will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will what? Overshadow you. So Mary, even though the angels left for the next 9 months, while you're carrying out the assignment of pregnancy, of carrying the baby of Jesus, you're not on assignment alone, but I'm going to be with you every step of the way. Isn't that cool? Everybody say, really cool. You don't have to do it alone. We carry out God's assignment, not on our own, but he promises that I'm going to give you an assignment, but here's the promise. I'm going to be with you. I'm going to be with you, and it's going to be hard. It's going to be confusing at times. There's going to be times where you don't feel like you have the talent or the ability, the know-how to pull it off. But all along the journey, hey, don't worry, you can call upon me because I'm going to be with you every step of the way. I want to close this morning with a personal story. And the point of my story is not to get your sympathy, so if you come up to say something to me afterwards regarding the story, I'm just going to knock you out, okay? But here's what happened. It was exactly two weeks ago that I know the assignment that God's given me. I'm clear about the assignment that God has given me. And 2 weeks ago, I was in a series, in a moment of great defeat, of great discouragement. I felt like, God, I'm not sure I can do what you're calling me to do. And so here's what happened. I went to bed on Sunday night into Monday morning. And by 2:30 on Monday morning, I was wide awake. Has that ever happened to anyone? So what I do is I usually go through a process. Should I lay here and hopefully fall back to sleep? Or should I go in the other room and read a book? That night was a little different, so I knew I wouldn't be able to fall asleep, and I knew a book wasn't going to be enough, so I put on my clothes, put on my shoes, and I came over here, walked the back alley of the church, and I came into the church. It was about a little before 3 in the morning. And I just began to lay out my heart to God, the frustrations, the difficulties, the disappointment. And as I was in this phase, in this season of my life, God spoke a word of great hope. He spoke a word that brought victory back into my life. And actually, I don't want you to show the verse, but the verse comes from the book of Zechariah, chapter 4, verse 6. And the context of the verse is there was this guy named Zerubbabel. How would you like to have that name? Zerubbabel. And anyway, Zerubbabel had a big task that God gave him through the prophet Zechariah. And the task is, Zerubbabel, I want you to be in charge of rebuilding the temple, because the temple had been torn down. And Zerubbabel saw this as an amazing task, a task that was much bigger than him, a task where he lacked the resources, he lacked the ability to pull off what God had called him to do. How many people know there's some things in your life that are going to be so big that you can't pull it off on your own? Yay or nay? There's going to be some things that if you're serving God and you're going after God, there's going to be things that you're like, yo, God, no way, I don't see how I can do that. But here's the promise that God gave to Zechariah, and here's the promise that God gave to me early that Monday morning, and it's right here on the screen. He says to Zerubbabel, it's not going to be by might, nor is it going to be by power, but it's going to be by my spirit, saith the Lord. And you know what that meant to me? God was speaking to me, and he said, you know, Mike, the assignment I gave you to do and you're discouraged about, the problem is you're trying to pull it off by might, You're trying to do it all on your own by your own power, but I've given you a promise. And the promise is this: you can do these things by my Spirit. Meaning that you don't have to be like the servant that gets the instructions from the master, then goes off on their own and try to pull this thing off, try to make it work. But you could be like the servant who has the master that gives them the assignment, and then the master wants to go with you. The master wants to be with you. The master wants to provide everything you need. It's not by might, it's not by power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord. And I want to let you know, if you're serving God here this morning, you want to serve God with all your heart, He's going to place assignments in your life. He's going to call you to do certain things in your life. And there are going to be things that come. Maybe He shows you it in His Word. Maybe He speaks to it in your heart by the Holy Spirit. But there's going to be things in your life that God calls you to do. And I want to let you know, He calls you not to try to pull these things off on your own, but He wants to give you His Spirit so that His Spirit can be the strength, can be the power, can be the wisdom, can be everything you need. Amen? You received the Word this morning, because I want to let you know there's going to be things that God calls you to. For example, if you're serving God, there's something that we're all called to this morning. Let's look at the verse, something we're all called to this morning. Our assignment as believers is this. Jesus said in His final words, go. Everybody say go. And make disciples of all nations. If you're a follower of Jesus, you have been given an assignment. And one of those assignments includes what we call the Great Commission. All of us are called to what? Go. Go. We were never meant to receive Christ and hold it to ourselves. We were all called to now take what we have been given and give it away and go. And we're called to go out and be witnesses. We're called to go make a difference in other people's lives. And I want to let you know, if you try to pull this off by yourself, failure will probably be the end result. But here's the good news. A servant who receives the instruction of the Word doesn't have to go out by themselves, but the Master. We have the Master in the form of the Holy Spirit, wants to come, and He wants to be with us in the assignment that God has laid on your heart, okay? So my whole thought today is simply, the big idea is, if you want to be involved in God's work, you got to be a servant. You got to call upon the Lord, get your instructions, your directions from Him, and then let Him go with you and pull it off. And I just want to speak to people today. There's so many people, you know what your instructions are, you know what your assignment is, but you're trying to do it alone. It doesn't work. We were never intended to do the work of God on our own. We need the Holy Spirit. Rosie, if you can sing or play for us softly. Let's just bow our heads this morning. Let's just allow God to speak to your heart. I just want to give you 2 minutes to just be in quietness here. And I want you to answer this question this morning. What is God saying to me? As I heard the Word this morning, as we read the Scriptures this morning, what is God saying to me? So let's just take about 90 seconds. Just allow the Lord to speak. What is God saying to you this morning? So Lord, give us ears to hear what Your Spirit may be speaking to us today. Father, I believe You're in these moments. I believe You're speaking something to each and every person. Maybe it's the person who needs to hear that with God all things are possible. Or maybe it's many of us that we want to be used by You. We want to be involved with Your work. And the call is to say, we're going to be a servant. We're going to surrender and allow the work of the Holy Spirit to be at work in us, the person of the Holy Spirit to lead us and guide us. So, Lord, I just ask that You'd speak to us in these moments. Before we rush out into the busyness of another week, Lord, would You get our attention this morning and help us to realize how much You love us, how much You care for us, that You're the God of the impossible. You're the God who wants to use us, and we just surrender ourselves to Your to be a servant of You, Father. And Lord, I just thank You for these moments together. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. And everyone said, amen.